Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. We have as our guest today an amazing woman, a dear colleague and friend. She is a warrioress and she sings like an angel and she writes like a theologian and the person next door, Sheila Walsh. And you all are probably familiar with her. She has sold over 4 million books, and she is a star with the Women of Faith conferences. She's the author of the best-selling memoir, Honestly, and she's the Gold Medallion Award nominee, The Heartache No One Sees. Her book, Beautiful Things Happen When a Woman Trusts God, has been the Retailer's Choice Award, as well as Gigi, God's Little Princess series. And she's working on a new book called The Shelter of God's Promises, which we're going to talk about today. And I'm reading through her list. It's just amazing the things she's doing. And she's currently completing her master's in theology. She lives in Frisco, Texas, with her husband, Barry, her son, Christian, and her two little dogs, Belle and Tink. Sheila, welcome to the show.
It's so great to talk to you, friend. Long time since I've seen your face.
I know, it's been too long. I have to get that press pass so I can get in among the hordes of thousands that come to see you. So tell me, why brokenness?
Brokenness to me is probably, if I had to pick a word that would sum up why we need a vital relationship with Christ, with our Father God, it is because of the very fact that we are broken, that our world is broken. I have this perpetual feeling on the best days and the worst days in life that I am on a detour. You know, when the road that you usually take has, you know, if they're working on it or something's happened and they put you off on some side road that is so bumpy and nothing's familiar. That's to me how this world feels. And rather than fighting it, I think if we recognize and embrace it, we'll understand the whole point of salvation.
I love that. So you're involved in many projects, speaking, writing, singing. Is there a central theme?
Oh, absolutely. If I had to give kind of the purpose of my whole life in a sentence, it would be very easy to do. It would be simply to tell as many people as I can, as often as I can, in as many ways as I can, about the outrageous love and mercy of God.
I love that. Now, you've recently switched the focus of your writing to Bible study. That can sound so dry compared to being on a stage and speaking to millions of women around the country and the world. Why Bible study?
It is the best thing I have ever given my heart to. You know, I was reading something by C.S. Lewis the other day where he said that, you know, rather than make too much of God's word and his promises, we understand it too little. He said it's like as if we are splashing around in a puddle when God has said, come swim in the ocean. The more that I have thrown myself into studying the word of God and to studying what his promises are, what I have discovered is what is always true, no matter what might be true for a season. You know, you and I go through different seasons, and we go through some seasons that are wonderful and some seasons that are barren and bleak. But what I've discovered is the word of God is true in every season, and that is really shifting who I am.
Well, one of the things that's so amazing about you, besides your energy, excuse me, is the fact that you can balance a husband, a child, two dogs, travel, and then this incredible speaking tour that you're on. And so how do you keep your balance? How do you keep your focus in all of that?
Well, to me, it's a great word because balance matters. And if I take away some of the ways people know me, what I come back to is Sheila Walsh, daughter of the King of Kings. You know, that's what's tattooed across my heart. You know, there's moments when I'm a speaker, there's moments when I'm a musician. But my eternal identity is Sheila Walsh, daughter of the King of Kings. So I move from that place every day into what I do. I have a very simple but important to me ritual every morning. When I wake up, I go outside and I simply say, good morning, Lord. I don't know where you're going today, but wherever you're going, I'm coming with you. And it's just like this acknowledgement before anything else kicks in that I may be on a plane, I may be in carpool lane waiting for my son, I might be a million and one different places, but who I am remains the same. I'm Sheila Walsh, daughter of the King of Kings, and no one can touch that. If you define yourself any other way, if I'm just Barry's wife, Christian's mom, a woman of faith speaker, circumstances in life could change all of these. Things mm-hmm. could happen, but nothing can touch the fact that I am a daughter of the King of Kings.
I love that, and we so often forget that, even if we do come to that realization, we forget it, don't we?
Oh, yes, because we so often, and I think particularly it's a challenge for us as women, we're identified by who we are connected to. Oh, mm-hmm. aren't you John's wife? Oh, yeah, you're Sally's mom. And all of those are wonderful things to be able to do an excited yes, I am to. But there's seasons in life when that those, you know, Sally's gone off to college at some point. And, you know, John could die of a heart attack unexpectedly. And when you identify yourself simply by your connection to something that belongs on this earth alone, it's a little shaky to me as a platform. I want to stand on a place that no matter whether somebody says something ridiculously wonderful about me that's exaggerated or extremely unkind that can cut to the core, what that doesn't touch is who I am inside.
So the struggles that women face, name three of the main ones that you see.
Wow. I think women struggle to tell the whole truth. I link that to a story that's found in Mark's gospel. We never know this woman's name. She's simply called the woman with the issue of blood.
Uh-huh.
But she is looking for a miracle. What she has no idea is that Christ has a bigger miracle in store for her. When she takes a risk, because it's easy for us just to read the story in face value and forget that she is she's still under Jewish law. So we know the Ten Commandments, the ten big ones. What we forget if we don't read Leviticus, which few of us do, and I don't blame you, is that the 603 other laws she's living under, and one
right.
burns her in particular. She is an unclean person, which means that for 12 years, she's not been able to touch another person. She's not been able to be invited to someone else's house for coffee, because if she sat in your chair, she's made it unclean. She's made your cup unclean. So what she does is, with the little remaining amount of faith she has left, she touches the edge of Jesus' garment, and the bleeding stops. But that was not the biggest miracle that day, because Jesus says to her, or says to the crowd, "Who touched me?" Not because he doesn't know, but because he's willing to offer her a far greater miracle. And when I read that, rather than slip away, she fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. She then received the greatest miracle of all, because Christ looked her in the eye and said, "Daughter," which is the only time in the New Testament Christ addresses one woman as daughter, and says, "Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." She could have gone home before, but would she have gone in peace? No, because she stole a miracle. But she received Christ's invitation to go beyond what she thought she needed to what he knew she really needed. So I think as women, we struggle to tell the whole truth. You know, we tell God as much as we think he can handle, but we hold back our little secrets.
Mm.
And I think that erodes who we are inside. But what I've discovered, I mean, I found that out at what I thought was the end of my life, and in some ways it was the end of my old life, but in a psychiatric hospital at 34 years of age, when I had gone from being the co-host of the 700 Club in the morning, by that evening, I'm in a locked ward of a psychiatric hospital. And that first night, when Jesus said to me, "Who touched me?" And for the first time in my life, I told him the whole truth. And rather than being voted off the island, he looked in my face and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." So I think as women, we struggle with that. We struggle with simply telling. And some people are not safe to tell the whole truth to. You know, we live in a very conditional church. You know,
right.
we judge one another by what we can see. But the truth is, God wants us to acknowledge and bring to him what he can see and know that at the depth of our being, we are loved. So you asked for three things, but I think one of the most crucial things in life is to know that at your worst moments and your best moments, God knows all that's true and loves you just as you are.
That is so powerful. I just want to interject here. You know, I have this ritual with God that I ask him to send me ladybugs when he's thinking of me. And I'm an amazing, like a snowstorm in Toledo, one landed on my windshield. And, you know, just really strange places they show up. And the other day I was complaining about something and walking along, talking to a friend, and a ladybug came and landed on my arm. And it was, whoa, I was not being very worthy at that moment. You know, I was complaining and I was mumbling, and it was like just a little touch. I'm here.
Yeah.
I love you. You're complaining. that awareness of God that you're talking about, that relationship is so powerful. What else? I'm just, you know, just this whole passage that you're bringing to life in a new way. What else can you share?
Well, you know, it's interesting to me that when Christ describes himself in relationship to you and I, he uses the analogy of he is a shepherd and we are sheep. And I grew up in a farming community in Scotland where I'm very familiar with the image of, you know, a flock of sheep and the shepherds coming behind them with the sheepdog. That is an image you will never, ever see in Israel. In Israel, the shepherd always goes ahead of the sheep to make sure the path is clear, that there's no danger, which says to me, as one of his sheep, it's not my job to get myself home. If he's going ahead of me, it's his job to get me home. I just get to go along beside him. I also love the fact that he chose the picture for you and I of the most vulnerable animal on the planet, because a cat can climb a tree, a dog can bark, a bird can fly, a sheep can do nothing. A sheep can't run, and if it falls over, it can't get itself back up. It's totally dependent on the shepherd. And I think that was very intentional. I also love when Christ talked about lost things. He talked about a lost coin, a lost boy, and then a lost sheep. He said there's a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and 99 of them stay where they're supposed to be, and one of them wanders off. I bet that sheep had been doing that since the day it was born. It's probably the black sheep of the flock. Everybody else is so frustrated with that sheep, but not the shepherd. He leaves the 99 together, knowing they'll take care of each other, and goes after this one. And when he finds it, he doesn't say, why did you do that again? If you do that one more time, I'm not coming after you. No, he picks it up, carries it home, and throws a party. So whether you're the good sheep who stays really close to the shepherd, or you're the black sheep that keeps blowing it, Christ will come and find you. And when he finds you, he will throw a party because he's found you. That's amazing to me.
Isn't that scandalous for religion?
It's totally scandalous. That's why grace is very hard to swallow, because it's completely unmerited favor. And it's a bit of an insult to us, because we think, well, come on, I mean, please tell me at least I'm bringing something to the table here. No, you're bringing nothing to the table. It's all about Christ. It's all about the love of God. It's nothing to do with us.
I love it when we use words that are not seemingly attached to the image of the golden-haired Jesus, you know, like you're using brokenness, and I just use scandalous, and there's a song we sing at church, he's devastated me with his love, and we almost lack the vocabulary to embrace and understand where he's coming from, right?
Oh, yes. I think that's very profound and very true. We like a clean Jesus, but that's not how he lived on this earth, and that is not who he is. That's not how he loves. He loves with this relentlessness that is overwhelming. But and I even think of, if you look at the lengths that he went to, even during the 3 years that he spent on tour, as it were, down here. I mean, when he would cross the Sea of Galilee to go to the eastern shore, which no respectable Jew would ever go to. That's, you know, the area of the Gadarenes. That's the Decapolis, the city, you know, 10 cities given over to pagan worship. But he goes there.
Got about seconds, so go ahead. I'm going to, five more seconds, and then I'll wrap it up.
Goes there.
Our time has flown quickly.
Yeah, he has one man who's demon-possessed, and Jesus said, I've come to get you, even you.
Wow, even you. SheilaWalsh.com. Listen to her. Go see her. Study her. You will be blessed. She is an amazing and profound messenger of grace. Sheila, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's always a blessing to talk to you.
Loved it, loved it.
All right. Have a good one, listeners. Go out and think about the profound grace of God. Amen and amen.